on Racing HQ.
Racing HQ.
Here's On the Pace.
Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the end of the Minion.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
And it is 27-11. Time for On the Pace. Greg Hayes joins us this morning. Greg.
Good morning, Cozzy. Big show today. We just heard Mark McNamara's call of the New Zealand Cup from last year. Mark's going to be profiled tonight on In the Gig from 6 o'clock on Sky Racing 2. He actually tells the story, and it's in it in the little piece tonight. He hates that call. He thought he absolutely butchered it. He was dirty on himself for a couple of days because of how he called that race. So make sure you tune in tonight in the gig of Sky Racing 2. And tonight's special feature is on Mark McNamara, who, of course, is the leading caller in the South Island of New Zealand, not only harness racing but gallops as well. So looking forward to catching up with Mark. On today's show, we're going to speak with John Dumazy. There's obviously been a change in the position with the whip ban in Australia. Now, there hasn't been – there was a short – release last Wednesday put out by Harness Racing Australia. There wasn't a lot in that. I have spoken with Andrew Kelly and Jeff Want about it. There was a story in the paper on Sunday by Chris Roots in the Sydney Morning Herald in regard to, and the headline is, Harness Racing Australia puts whip ban on hold. Now, I think we will see a release from Harness Racing Australia, very similar to that story that Chris Roots wrote, in the next couple of days. So we'll talk about that, because obviously John Dumazy, as the chief executive at Harness Racing New South Wales, would have been part of those meetings at or with the executive of Harness Racing Australia. So we'll speak to John about that this morning, and he can explain to us just where we are at currently with the whip ban and harness racing in Australia. Also today, I want to speak with Todd McCarthy. He drove Tiger Tara. It was a really good drive. Great training performance by Kevin Pizzuto to get Tiger Tara ready for a first up kill to beat horses the calibre of Lenny the Shark, MacDoro, and Myfield Marshall as well. But it was a super drive by Todd, so we'll catch up with him today. Of course, Fairfield said goodbye yesterday. They had their last meeting forever. And, of course, the council going to develop that piece of land and turn it into a feature parkland. Well, we'll catch up with Ross today and go back in time and have a chat about a few of the stories out of Fairfield from the old days. And I want to speak with Greg Sugars as well, because Greg, he drove a horse that we'll see more of on Saturday night called Rock of America, raced in the first race on Saturday night and finished second. He goes towards the Breeders' Challenge. He's also got Little Peanut, and it qualified for the Breeders' Challenge final for the two-year-old colts and geldings, and that race comes up on Sunday the 25th. But more on that later. Todd McCarthy is the man who did all the work behind the very talented Tiger Tara on Saturday night. It was a ripper of a drive. Of course, the main race on the program, it was the Golden Mile, and in what was a massive performance by horse, driver and trainer, Tiger Tara beat MacDoro and Lenny the Shark. Todd's joining me on the line to have a chat about it. Morning, Todd.
Morning, Hayes.
Mate, congratulations. That horse, he had a break. We hadn't seen him for a little while, but that killer instinct, he still got it.
Yeah, it was awesome to come back like that and come back with such a strong win against such good company.
You're able to lob into a nice spot from the second row, and from there you were able to keep your eye on what was happening up front, keeping in mind that there wasn't a lot of speed on.
There wasn't a lot of speed, but I was still sort of content with the speed. Coming off the second row like that, it actually gave us a really good opportunity to be able to drive him with a sit, especially first up. We thought that would do him good coming into such a big campaign now, and it paid off for us. He's got a good turn of foot, and he showed that Saturday.
What were you thinking when you were coming to the turn? They ran through the third quarter in 28-1, and you've got a horse like Lenny the Shark in front. How were you travelling?
The third quarter probably helped bring me into the race. You know, it sort of gave me an opportunity to get a little bit of momentum coming into the straight. I know Lenny's so fast, but it was just a really slick last quarter. And having that little bit of distance from Lenny coming in as we straightened. I was sort of away from him, and he probably didn't really see me coming to give me a chance to get a bit of a roll on him. But no, he hit the line really strong.
And how did he feel, Tiger Tara, you know, in the last 100 metres of the race?
Strong. I sort of thought he'd be, you know, they all get a little bit tired that last 100 metres. And when McDora got out, I initially thought, oh, got a really good turn of foot, McDora, and I thought he might have me here. But I sort of come down the track a little bit and got next to him. And once Tiger eyed him up, he wouldn't let him go past him.
So does that give you confidence going into races like the Len Smith Mile?
Yeah, definitely. That was, like I said, it was such a good way to come back with him. And I think it's, you know, the horse earned a lot of respect again after that. He's last up before he went out for a spell when he had to sit past in 49. And we made a race of it. We sort of thought we were fitting hard going into that. So he was, you know, by no means disappointing that day. He only got to beat 6 metres parking out and doing all the work like that. So Kev was confident when we had him back Saturday night. He said he thought he was going to run a really good race. So full credit to Kev Pizzuto, what he's done with the horse, getting him up and ready for that Saturday night race.
He has done a great job, Kev, with him, because it took him a while to find his feet and when he first arrived from New Zealand, and he may have had a few little issues, but Kev's been able to put all that behind him. He's got the horse going in a really good, a rich vein of form, gave him that little break. There's always that question mark with a stallion, whether that's going to affect them in any way, but there was no signs of that at all, and he's just racing in career best form at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. I think he just took a little bit for, you know, Kevin to sort out the horse and learn a little bit about him and that. But the way that horse races and his style, I think, really suits Kevin. And I think that's why they get along so well.
So we'll see him, obviously, in the Len Smith Mile. There's some talk he may go to Queensland as well.
Yeah, we're talking about Queensland after. So Kev will just weigh that up at the time. And as long as the horse is, you know, fit well and happy, I'm sure we'll be in Queensland too.
You also qualified one for Kev in the Group 1 Breeders' Challenge for the two-year-old fillies. You drove to Sini, and she did a very good job to finish third behind Molly Kelly. It was only 2.5 metres away at the end, and they ran a sub-56 last half. What did you make of her performance?
Yeah, she's every time I go out on her, she's just improved, you know. It didn't feel like it was that long ago when we put her around at the trials for the first time, but she's just, every start she's had, she's just seems to just get better and better and better, and she's become quite an attractive filly now. So hopefully, you know, if we can get a good draw again with her, she should be in the money.
And what about the season to date? You're happy with how everything's going?
Yeah, everything's good. The season was off a little bit slow with injury and that, but now at the moment everything's going good. So now I'm just enjoying it, and hopefully it keeps cruising along like we are.
All right, and just quickly, what did you make of Lord Zinzan? He was the favourite in his race on Saturday night. He's one of those horses, he just needs that constant racing.
Yeah, I think so. He probably, he pulled up probably a little bit underdone, I think, but he just, going into the race, we were really confident with him, and initially I was pretty disappointed with him, but I think that run will do him well, and hopefully next time he'll be tough enough.
All right, mate. Thanks very much for joining us this morning, and congratulations with that win on Tiger Tara.
Thanks very much, AZ. Cheers.
There he is, Todd McCarthy, one of the leading drivers in Sydney. And, yeah, it was an absolute ripper of a drive on Tiger Tara, defeating Lenny the Shark, who hasn't had that many defeats. Look, there was some talk after the race on Saturday night that maybe Chris Alford went too slow. I've gone back and had a look at each of the times he's raced over the mile. He has won with similar first halves, with similar last halves. I just think it was a case that the horse was having its first run back from a break. He'll be better for that, and he can look forward to a big race and another big challenge when he meets Tiger and Co. in the Len Smith Mile in a couple of weeks' time. John Dummersey, he is the CEO, the Chief Executive at Harness Racing New South Wales, mentioned off the top of the show. There was a small release from Harness Racing Australia last Wednesday in referral to what's happening with the whip ban in Australia. Now, there's been no release since. However, there was a story in the Herald on Sunday by Chris Roots that Harness Racing Australia puts whip ban on hold. John Dummersey obviously attends the meetings with Harness Racing Australia in his role with Harness Racing New South Wales. And unfortunately, we can't speak with Andrew Kelly or Jeff Want this morning, but John Dummersey should be able to let us know what's been happening and where this is all at, because there's plenty of participants want to know what's happening. John Dummersey, good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
Well, the headline reads in the first paragraph, Harness Racing Australia will continue to work towards a whip ban, but its target of starting at the beginning of the new season has had to be reassessed. Is that basically what's happened out of those meetings from last week?
Well, certainly that is from the Harness Racing Australia perspective. New South Wales, we've been quite open over the last few months that we will look at what is best for New South Wales, and we've worked very closely with the representative group, the UHRA, Darren McCall and the McCarthys and others to getting to where we think it is the best result. Now, with free racing, whether that comes in time, that's another issue. But we will work forward. And as far as Harness Racing Australia is concerned, they immediately recognised that the date of the 1st of September was not achievable. I believe that's the way Jeff Want placed that in that statement. And it's very good that as the consultative group, I suppose, at the top of the tree in Australia, that they've recognised that early enough to move forward with this.
It's not dead, and there is some talk that basically we're back to where we were maybe 12 months ago, where we go back to the table and the participants get a chance to have their say and the administrators get a chance to have their say and it develops from there. Is that how I'm reading it?
Well, that is correct. But in New South Wales, we've been having those discussions. We made a pledge long ago, mid last year, that we would consult fully with our industry about how to take the use of the whip forward. And we continue that. And we've had some very beneficial discussions with the group, that's stewards, myself and others, board members from Harness Racing New South Wales. Rod Smith has been a real leader in this area, and the horsemen, and we will get to a position where we're very comfortable with what occurs with the whip. And I've got to say already, we're at a point where we're in agreement as to what the future use of the whip will be. And by saying the future use of the whip means that it won't be eliminated from the sport, certainly at this time.
Will there be a tightening of the whip? Can you perceive that going forward?
Certainly there is a tightening of the action, the way the whip is used. And you spoke there of Tiger Tara winning at Menangle on Saturday night. I recommend anyone to review the way drivers are using the whip now, as opposed to possibly before October or December last year. And the drivers are already recognising that there is a need to adjust their action, certainly be within the rules. And the one thing that Harness Racing New South Wales does not wish to do, the stewards, is continually fine drivers for whip use or other non-compliance issue. But it's a matter of drivers being compliant with the rules, and they're making a very, very good effort to do that, especially in the area of the whip.
Seems a sensible outcome for everyone involved.
It certainly does, and I've said before, I congratulate and appreciate the work that others have done, especially in the ranks of the representatives of the drivers, into coming with us to find a suitable solution through consultation, and that has been undertaken on many, many occasions over the last few months.
And just on another topic, Breeders' Challenge, happy with the start of the semi-finals on Saturday night? It was great to see some very talented horses going around.
Certainly, and when you say talented horses and a very even spread of the horses, the way the results came in certainly denied the fact that there'd be long odds on favourites in these finals. Barrier draws come into question always, but now some great racing. And the nominations for this Saturday night, especially in the three-year-old Colson Geldings, are super. There will be some disappointed people because there were 30-odd nominations for that for the three-year-old Colson Geldings, but no, it's certainly coming along. The three-year-old, I'll dwell on the three-year-old Colson Geldings. The fact we ran three extra heats shows how strong the ranks are there and how what the depth is. So, yeah, the Alabar Breeders Challenge 2017 are going to be an outstanding final day on June 25th at Menangle.
John, I know you stepped out of a meeting to chat with us this morning. Thank you very much for that, and we'll speak with you again soon.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is, John Dumazy, the Chief Executive of Harness Racing New South Wales. So there you have it. That story that Chris Roots published is 100% spot on. Jeff Want was quoted in the story. The HRA executive remains committed to achieving real progress this year. To that end, we will focus on implementing on 1 September an even more rigorous rule restricting the use of whips during harness races to be accompanied by severe penalties for those unable to comply. This is likely to mean that only an extremely limited wrist action will be allowed in racing. That would make the use of the whip in Australian harness racing amongst the most controlled in the world, and we will impose some of the heaviest penalties for misuse. So that was how Jeff Want's been quoted in the story by Chris, if you missed it on Sunday. Now, I just want to make mention, before we go to Ross Scherf, congratulations to Jared and Stephanie Alchin. Got a message through from Jared this morning at about 7:30 to say that Steph had given birth to Isabella Marie Alchin. She weighed in at 7.3 pounds or 7 pound 3 ounces and arrived at 10 to 6 this morning. Both mum and bub are doing well. So congratulations to both Steph and Jared on the arrival of their baby daughter this morning at 10 minutes to 6. Ross Scherf, the boss of the Fairfield Harness Racing Club. We say goodbye to Fairfield after yesterday's meeting. A sad day for the club, but some great memories from the past. And Ross is joining me on the pace. Morning, Ross.
Good morning, Greg.
Mate, very sad day yesterday. Would have been very hard for you to turn the lights out there last night.
Yeah, it was. I got home very late and it was very sad. And usually they give me something to get up in the morning and I'm very hard to get up out of bed this morning and get in here. I only just got in here this morning. Usually I'm here at 8 o'clock.
I've had a chat with a few different people over the last 24 hours and one of the most common questions is, what does Ross Scherf do? He's been the lifeblood of Fairfield for as long as people can remember. What happens with you? What do you do now?
I might look after my lovely wife, Ros. She's not too well at the moment. So I'll spend a bit of time with her because she missed me a lot when I've been working here at Fairfield. And when I first got married, I said, we're going nowhere on a Friday night. I'm going to Harold Park. That she's been a bit of a trotting with her, so I think I'll put a bit of time with her.
Beautiful. And it would obviously be a very tough time for Colin Watts as well, who he's another one. He bleeds Fairfield. It's all about the Fairfield Harness Racing Club.
Oh, there's a few here. Colin Watts is taking it very badly. So is Steve Condon. He's been here since, he was stable foreman for Chris Gleeson. He's been training horses here for ages. And Graham Watts, he's a third generation. I don't know where he's going. And even the great Tiger Tara, he's trained here at Fairfield, so I don't know where Kevin's going to go with his horses. So he's here every day with his team of 20, so I don't know what's going to happen with Kevin. And Alan Brennan, who's been here since the track's open with Glenn Pierce. So I think they're going to Bankstown, but it's a bit of an upheaval of everyone.
So basically the council have taken the land back and they're going to develop it. Is that the way I read it?
Yes, that's right. It's they want to make a centre of excellence and put $22 million into a soccer field. And what the mayor said was harness racing is not relevant, which is a sad thing for the racing industry because what's happened now, harness racing New South Wales has let it go. They've put their head down and not done anything about it since 2004. The council's been telling us that we've got 12 meetings, nothing would happen, but we only got two, and they've looked after us pretty well, the council. The board just said, no, we're only going to give you the two meetings. I don't know what happened there, but $2 million worth of assets are now going to just, what the racing industry has spent here, it's just going to go to waste. Because, every building's been built by the racing industry, and the council will just take the benefits of it.
So what are some of the, obviously some sad memories with that, but what are some of the happy memories for you from Fairfield?
Oh, I can remember a couple. Young Fred, I can remember him having his first call here. It was a race caller's day and Johnny Tapp was doing some stories he couldn't make and Fred was here and he got a run and he was here with his mum. That's how young he was. His mum drove him here.
I know Freddie didn't get his licence until he was a fair age, but I heard him say yesterday before the call of the last that he called his first race at Fairfield, and he's got a very soft spot for the club. So yes, he's got a special affiliation with the Fairfield club. You got any other stories?
Yeah, there's a Johnny Tapp story in the back days when he was doing the Lotto Live on Channel 9. He had two horses in the first and second race, and those days there was only 2K wide. There was no Sky Channel broadcasting the races, and he had one in the first. He fell off and broke his leg. And he said to the ambulance driver, "No, no, no, don't take me to the hospital. I want to watch the second thing. The horse, I think it's a, you know, it's going to win first up." A horse called Prince Toe Tapper, but only average horse in the end. So John watched that and went off to hospital. And Kerry Packer, who owned Channel 9 those days, wasn't too happy. And he said, "John, that's the end of you driving. You can't be driving if you're doing the lotto."
So John's broken the leg, but asked to be asked the ambulance to stick around so he could watch his horse go around in race two.
And also, we had a tower just right near the winning post, three stories high, and the stewards watched there. And one race there was Oda the Carousel. And I won't say who it was, but he did drive a very poorly judged race. He was on a short price favourite. And the punters let loose. And I think it was Roger Neighbour. Poor old Roger couldn't get down off the stand to do the click weight. It was 10 minutes later. He had to wait 10 minutes before the punters decided to go and have a bet. So Roger said, he did a Donald Trump. He said, "The stand, you're sacked." So he sacked the stand.
I remember the last time when I think it was in 2004 when you lost the full time meetings. Your horse won the last race, didn't it? Hope for Henry.
Yes, yeah, and I made a thing there with the stress of it, and I jumped up and lost my mouth.
That's right.
I don't know how many times Sky Channel replayed that thing for a filler later in the night. There was no night racing.
We might have to pull it out tonight because and give it a run on in the gig. I do remember that Hope for Henry won the last race when Fairfield used to race full time and be on the Sky Channel circuit all the time. Ross's horse has won the last and he's right on the fence cheering on Hope for Henry. And as it's hit the line, he's thrown his arms up and down in his pants. So
I'll give you a story about Hope for Henry. I bought it for my wife, Rosalind, for the wedding for a birthday present.
Yeah,
only a cheap horse. 2000, I went half share. So the first day it raced, it won $800. And we're driving home and she says, "Where's me $400? She wanted to get paid on the way home. And I told her, "Well, you have to wait a month and you'll have to wait for the 10% for this and 10% for that." She said, No, I've got to have my money now." So I had to fork it over. You know what women are like.
Mate, the last race was taken out by Rark's Mac, Amanda Turnbull. Steve Turnbull ran second on Power of Red. And the main race of the day, the J.D. Watson Memorial, was won by Let's Strike the Goal for the Fitzpatricks, who have been great supporters of the club. Obviously a sad day for you. We wish you all the best of luck. The guys in the media, thank you so much because you help us out no end. And look forward to catching up with you for a beer sometime in the future.
Yeah, well, thanks, Greg. Thanks very much.
There is Ross Scherf, the boss of the Fairfield Harness Racing Club. And unfortunately, they had their final meeting yesterday and it wrapped up a bit of an era. Now, Greg Sugars is about to join us. He had a couple of drives at Menangle on Saturday night. He drove one in the first called Rock of America, and he also drove Little Peanut a little bit later on in the program. I want to have a chat to him about both of those. Greg Sugars, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Greg.
Mate, firstly, Little Peanut. Tell us a little bit about Little Peanut through to the final of the Breeders' Challenge.
Yeah, no, he's a lovely little horse. One of the favourites around the stable at home. Nice, neat, easy-going little fella, and he's progressing nicely as the season goes on. And we're very happy with his performance on Saturday night.
He's only had the six starts, and he's won three of them. He was very impressive winning a heat at Wagga of the Breeders' Challenge, and obviously that fourth on Saturday night. You progress through now to the final. A good chance for connections to get excited about having a horse in a Group 1.
Yeah, absolutely. I say he's progressing nicely with the more racing he does. He's starting to develop a bit of gait speed, which he showed a little bit off the arm Saturday night, which he hasn't before. And, we're really hopeful that we might have been able to draw a nice barrier to get a nice soft run on the inside. But unfortunately, we haven't fared too well in the barrier draw come the final. But like I say, the horse is getting better with racing. So hopefully, if things go away during the race, then we're still a chance.
The two big guns in the semi-final that you competed in, Ignatius and Sicario, they look to be, and according to the tab market, they look to be the two main ones going into the final.
Yeah, I think so. They looked in a bit too compared to us, but they performed very well, obviously through their heat on Saturday night. So they're very very deserving of their favouritism in the TAB market.
What about Rock of America? What did you make of him in the first race? He's getting ready for the Breeders' Challenge semi-finals this weekend. He ran second behind Real Stride. What did you think of his run?
Yeah, look, he certainly wasn't at his best on Saturday night. Given like the run he had, he was able to poke his head in front approximately halfway up the straight. He should have been able to at least hang on, if not run away with a victory up the straight at his very best. So he's only second up from a spell, and I think, you know, the way he sort of he pulled up over the back that the after the race that it showed signs that he needed that run, which Connection sort of thought may be the case leading into it. So no doubt he will benefit greatly from that run the other night, and he should be much improved because of it.
He ran third in the Breeders' Challenge last year as a three-year-old behind Charleval, and you drove him on that occasion as well. Wasn't beaten too far. So we've seen him develop since then, and with that run under his belt and then coming through the semi-finals this weekend, you'd have to think, going into the series, you're on one of the main hopes.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he performed very, very well throughout the series last year, and actually throughout the whole season. You know, he always found there was always sort of one or two that were just better than him, but he was never far below the very best of his age group. Even a close-up placing behind Lazarus down here in Melbourne during the Victoria Cup Carnival, I think it was. So yeah, he's a very, very smart horse when he's right. But as I say, he just wasn't at his best the other night. But hopefully with another week under his belt and, you know, get moving forward, that he'll really sharpen up. And if he produces his best form, he's definitely one of the leading chances in his eighth division.
Gee, you've been doing a bit of travelling of late. You were in Sydney last weekend, Port Pirie the weekend before, where you won an invitational series. You're not at home very often.
No, not very often at all. Yeah, it's the joys of a freelance driver, I suppose. And, you know, the way we're set up in Victoria here, you know, there's racing every day of the week, but I'm at most meetings. So even when I'm not travelling in the state, I still don't get to spend a great deal of time at home, which is proving a little bit difficult at the minute with Jess and I in the process of setting up our own farm. That, you know, and finding spare time to do things around the farm is, it's hard to come by.
Well, mate, congratulations with all the recent success you've had. Good luck this weekend again, and we look forward to seeing you here on the finals day coming up Sunday week.
Thanks, Avey.
There he is, Greg Sugars, leading freelance arrangement from Victoria, who has had plenty of success. So, as mentioned, normally this time of the week, we've already got the fields for Saturday night. Because of the public holiday yesterday, we don't have the fields for Menangle this coming weekend. They'll be out later today. But we heard from John Dummersey, the three-year-old Colts and Geldings Breeders' Challenge. That is going to be super. Obviously, Vincent set for that series. We've seen him compete already in heats at Penrith, and he's going to be one of the major players, and he'll start a pretty short price favourite going into that series. John mentioned the fact that there was a couple of shorties got beaten on Saturday night, and that has really opened up a few of the divisions. Obviously, Heaven's Trend's going to be the dominant favourite in the four-year-old mare. She was convincing when winning a semi-final there. But the two-year-old fillies, the heat winners there were Jillaby Galway Girl and Molly Kelly. Molly Kelly, before Saturday night, would have been a very short price favourite, but Jillaby Galway Girl was super impressive twice in the space of 5 days. And then, obviously, Ignatius beating Sicario, the Tasmanian. Congratulations to Todd and James Rattray. Ignatius was very good. Sicario was able to work to the front. Ignatius sat on his back and beat him for speed up the straight. And then Captain Cosmonaut, well done to the Frisbees. Amanda Turnbull drove it. The unlucky horse in that race was Divine State, got bailed up on the inside, never got out, and has missed the final. Well, his first emergency for the final, needs a scratching to get in. But Captain Cosmonaut winning, beating Cast Along Shadow. So some great Breeders' Challenge racing last Saturday night. We'll see more of it again this week. Cozzy, that wraps it up. I'll catch you again next Tuesday.
Good on you, Greg. Greg Hayes on the pace.